Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's Sideshow. This is Jacques, and I'm doing a little unorthodox introduction into this show because of some technical difficulties, which we've been having a great deal of lately since I've taken over the reins on the tech side. Small coincidence. There was also a little miscommunication, so I missed the introduction of Al, so I'm going to take a moment and introduce Al before we jump into our little chat. Al is a longtime friend, 20-year friend of Biff and myself, one of the greatest, nicest guys you will ever meet. I've been asking Al to come on the podcast for a little bit now because I've always just loved Al as a person. He's funny, and he's had a very interesting, fun job. Al is a salesman, not a salesman, he is the quintessential salesman who has been selling party goods and favors since I was back in high school. We get into a little bit of how he got into it, a little bit of some of the history of different items he had, but I definitely wanted to give Al his due and give him a proper introduction. So without much further ado, here is our conversation with our great friend and a great pal and a great mentor and a really good all-around husband, dad, hockey teammate, Al.
How did you stumble into the world of selling the licensed knickknacks that you had?
So my family, my grandfather came to this country in the early part of the 20th century. And in 1913, he and his brother opened a business in Camden, New Jersey called Eisenberg Brothers. And they did paper supplies, paper bags, twine, market papers, things that people needed. And eventually they got into pizza pie boxes and all the other junk. And I worked for their company as a kid from the time I was about 14 years old. So I knew something about the paper business, but it was a small company. So I went to work in somebody else's paper company and I absolutely hated it. Because if you're selling toilet tissue to the big smokestacks, you know, and they're going to use that product, you get knocked out of there for a half a penny a roll. I answered an ad and went to interview for a company that eventually sold Smurfs and had that, you know, it was the first licensed character item I ever sold.
Wow.
But they had all kinds of other junk, goofy greetings and happy plaques, you know, $1 and $2 shitty gift items. And when the guy told me, and by the way, the guy who interviewed me was in jeans and sandals and t-shirt, you know, so we felt comfortable. And when he told me what the money was like, I said, what do I have to lose? Now I'm selling something that actually people can resell for a profit. And that's what I got hooked on, being able to help build somebody's business with a profit motive. Eventually, I moved around a little bit, but eventually I joined up with this local Philadelphia company called Unique Industries that made party supplies. And the guy invented Donkey Game. I mean, that's how old it is. The magic relight candles, he invented that. And he eventually got into licensing. And he got the Smurf license and he got the Batman license. And we always had a few licenses every year. And that really captivated my interest.
What year were we talking the Batman license?
The Batman license that I sold, the first one I sold, was around 1984. But when we came out to California and I got to go to the Batman premiere, that was the George Clooney Batman.
Okay.
So,
but the Michael Keaton. Already, so if you were in it in 84, that was before the Batman boom of 89.
Yes. So it was at 89?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was terrific. And we were able to, you know, I spent a lot of time on the phone just calling it in. I didn't have to go out and work too hard. And that was fun, you know, and that was all that money is gone, of course.
And honestly, like I said earlier, when I moved to Qatar and I shipped some stuff home and I went through, I had a box of, because every time you had one of those things, you know, I was gifted so much of that stuff. I probably still have half of a box back, you know, still in the shed that haven't been unpacked since we've got back from Qatar. So if the Smurfs were the first thing, what is the last thing before you hung it up that you hawked?
You know,
that I would know. What's that?
Eventually, things changed in our business. Hallmark got out of the party goods business, and it made room for our company, Unique Industries, to acquire much more of the licensing, including the Disney, which we never had any Disney. So now I've got Mickey Mouse and all the other characters. And it became not what was the greatest single character, but how many of these pretty good characters can I squeeze into my 20, 30, 40 foot department? And it became a matter of real estate like everything else.
Mm. Did the advent of the dollar stores help or hurt your business?
The advent of the dollar stores saved my business.
Wow.
When I first came out to California, Party Specialty Store was a fairly new thing, and that's where I made my living. But as that matured and grew older, and a couple of big players came onto the scene, Party City, of course, individually owned party stores were dying. And our owner and his family, they're very smart people. I love them. They had the foresight to see where our niche was. And it really was in the big box and discount market. So, and here in Southern California, there are way more than maybe anywhere else in the country, individually owned dollar and discount stores, or a guy with three stores that becomes five, that becomes six, and that it's still growing. And it completely revolutionized my business. So I wouldn't even go into a party store anymore. I'm strictly in the discount market.
Wow.
And it became something of value that I could pass on to the next guy.
So you started this 15 years, 10 years. If your journey started in 84 down this path, that's 10 years before the internet was really a thing, 20 years before internet commerce was a thing. How has that hurt you or helped you sell more stuff? I mean, are people ordering directly from places, or do they go, how has that helped or hurt you?
The internet, like carriage trade stores, they're not my consumer. My consumer is at 99 only and those type of stores. This is a big Hispanic market, big Latino crowd. They're huge consumers of party supplies. And I love them. I love the people. It's a pleasure to go into their businesses and or into the businesses that serve them and create something that they want and be able to tell the story. This is something your consumer wants. You don't have to take my word for it. The first person I would see when I walked into a new account was the young lady at the register, more often than not Latina. And I would not say a word. I'd just open my book and let her page through it. And then she'd go get the boss and tell him that he had to work with me. And it was easy.
Two questions. How far was your territory? And is your car as immaculate now? Al, I got in his car one day and I don't think I've been in a new car cleaner. And you've been like, this is it. Like, there's no eating in this thing. This is my office. And you were so crystal clear on that. But is your car as immaculate, and how vast was the territory that you covered?
When I first came out to California, I had border to border. I had seven states on the West Coast, and Unique continuously cut my territory. So I lost Oregon and Washington, and then I lost Arizona and Nevada. And every time they cut my territory, I sort of laughed up my sleeve because I knew that the more time I spent in Southern California, the better I would do. This is my mark.
Interesting.
And so when I finished, I had everything from Fresno down through San Diego. And I can't remember the last time I went to San Diego.
There's a certain irony.
I needed was right here.
It's interesting because now we're in this more kind of, where you have kind of people have wide reaching access because of the internet, but it seems like, you became so much more of a foot soldier, right? Like it really was. I mean, was it more walking, pounding the pavement in the more recent years as, world kind of opened up?
You couldn't be more right.
Yeah.
You're 100% right. Literally on the pavement walking. Yep. Because if you go to the corner of Olympic and Central downtown and you look three blocks in every direction, you will see nothing but pinatas hanging from the ceiling.
Right.
And those businesses, if I really wanted to, I could just stay right there. I didn't have to go elsewhere. So I was able to do my business in a very localized way. And let's face it, there aren't any more of me, except there's one, the guy who bought my business. He's the last of a breed. And as I got older and started to slow down a little bit, it just fit me perfectly. But it is certainly not the way of the future.
It's interesting because this is going back a few years before I left L.A. And after I left L.A. and I came back, I remember having conversations. You very much were looking to find a protege. And yes. you kept kind of upping the package and basically saying, look, it's turnkey. You do X, Y, Z. On the low end, you're here. And on the high end, you're here. And you were just having a hell of a time finding people who were willing to get in the car and drive the 50 miles and hit 10 stores and park the car and walk in and plop the book on somebody's desk. And we had so many conversations at F&H where you're like, this girl came in and I think she's going to work out. And then the next week, you know, she lasted 2 days and this kid came in and it was one of those things where, again, it's physically demanding because you do have to physically show up. You know, and you do have to drive to these places. And as we have talked, you know, it's very much relationship. It's very much person to person, eye contact. And granted, I don't know if handshakes are going to come back. I'm kind of hoping they don't. But that's what gets these things done, is getting off your ass and going out there and pounding the pavement. And I don't want to sound like, well, the kids today. But there's been so many people that I know in different businesses who the number one problem is finding people who want to work, and the work's there, you know? So, I mean, but I remember you just couldn't find somebody and the frustration of what more do you have
to do? I hired more than a dozen sales proteges. The only guy that worked was the guy who found me. He literally called me looking for the sales manager of the company because he knew the line. And he wished he could carry the line. And I had told my family early in 2019, this has got to be my last year. Being on the road is just killing me. And I've got to stop. And I'm going to stop. And if I can find somebody, fine. And if I can't. And in March of that year, he found me. He called me. And when I said to him, look, you can start working right now. But frankly, I need to get out. I'm looking for somebody who can take over. It was done over coffee the first time we met. And I never like to say that salesmen are born, not made, because I always like to think that I made myself into a salesman. But I'm starting to think that salesmen are born. No, this guy was just born to do it.
Okay. The three of us met on the ice rink. And Al, I mean, you've seen a good player can become great. A bad player can become good, but at the end of the day, the reason somebody like a Gretzky can never be a good coach, you can't teach that. There are some things where, you know, some of my favorite players are always the guys who left everything out on the ice, trained harder, worked harder, dedicated harder, and they fought to make a 3-year career, 4-year career, 5-year career. But the greats in any sport, and I think the same thing with sales, you can teach somebody sales techniques. You can teach somebody, you can't teach work ethic. You cannot teach drive. And honestly, you can't teach personality. You can fake personality for a little bit. You know, you can get through a conversation or two. But at the end of the day, yeah, I believe that people are meant to do certain things, you know?
I think ultimately, right? I mean, it's a combination of things, definitely. I mean, you definitely had in the people that you tried to, bring up, there may have been the person who kind of had the base essence, but they didn't have your work ethic, right? They weren't willing to, you know, pound the pavement, as you say. So,
you know, and this other thing that I watched today, Dickie Fox, and I urge you to get on YouTube and just do Dickie Fox. He said two other things. If you don't love everybody, you can't sell anybody. Mm-hmm. And the other thing he says, if there's nothing here, this don't matter.
Yeah. What was the first thing that he said that you quoted? Because it was a good one.
If you don't love everybody, you can't sell anybody.
The first thing you said too, and I'm trying to
about showing up.
Well, somebody else said the three most important things are make the calls, make the calls, make the calls.
I just want to make sure, because, you know, to make sure I got it all. I want to talk again about, it was Frozen 2 was the, you can't miss, this is going to be your swan song, crickets.
Frozen 2 was going to be, a great goodbye.
I cannot
and
tell
I
you.
I had it set up for Scott, the new guy, but it just didn't happen.
Now, I wanted to
list
the
things that are hot now, and I thought I'd
please. Yeah.
Let's hear it.
And I don't know a lot of this stuff. Coco Melon. So if you remember Baby Shark,
yep.
I don't know if you knew about Baby Shark. Yep. That was, you know, just based on a little kiddie song that.
Yep.
I think a Korean,
the South Korean thing, yeah.
Yeah, a company got a hold of the rights to it and then made a little video out of it. And Coco Melon is sort of like that. Among Us is another one.
Oh,
and
that is Among it's a video game.
Among Us is a game, I believe.
Yeah.
Right. So we've had Minecraft.
Yep.
Yeah. And we got it late because game developers are so wealthy just developing their game once the game catches on that they're not looking for licenses. They're not looking to license out their stuff. So by the time we got Minecraft, it was sort of over, but I hear it's back now.
No, Al, I'm going to stop you right there. My son, because games keep cycling back, my boys went through a huge Among Us thing a few months ago. It was funny because they didn't know who AOC was, but when I showed that she was online playing, you know, Among Us, they lost their shit. I'm going to say I spent $60 about 2 weeks ago because my little guy, who wanted nothing to do with Minecraft the last 3 years, and Minecraft was completely off our radar. And about 3 weeks ago, I had to go on Amazon and buy a diamond sword, a potion bottle, and something else. So those game things, they ebb and flow, but Minecraft will be here for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was something after Minecraft, and I don't recall what it was. What's the next gaming, big game thing that came out?
There's a Roblox thing, but the gaming thing is huge. Five Nights at Freddy's.
Roblox. Baby Yoda was
Mandalorian. Yep.
Yeah, Mandalorian and Spider-Man. He tells me is stronger than ever.
Wow, interesting.
Well,
They don't have a current. I mean, are they in between? Yeah.
No, they're not. They're not in between because Tom Holland is going to do one more live action.
Oh, he's going to do one more. Okay.
And there's another Into the Spider-Verse with the Black Spider-Man.
Right. They had that.
And last year it was a video game of the year. So, but have any of them come close to? You said the number one all time thing was Ninja Turtles.
No, the number one all time thing was Barney.
Oh,
right, Barney. Yeah,
and nothing will come close to that. Wow. I mean. Yeah. We can't imagine that anything's coming close. It hits the perfect target, you know, our target age, which is the birthday, you know, when you're going to have a birthday party and little kids.
Yeah.
And people would say to me, oh, Barney, I can't stand Barney. And ugh, disgusting. And I would answer with a very saccharine, sweet attitude. What could you have against something that is, you know, unconditional love and safety for your kids and make them make people feel bad about it? But nothing. I mean, I could just call it in. That's how good Barney was.
Yeah.
And what about the biggest thing that you missed out on, that like a line that you really wanted that you guys didn't get or something that
even something that said, yeah, nobody's going to buy this. And it turns out, oh, my God, everybody wants it.
Well, early on, The Little Mermaid was just ginormous, and it was the only thing girls wanted. And the only misstep that I think our company made was when Disney's Little Mermaid was so big, they licensed out Saban's Mermaid, which was based on a book or something like that. So we also had a mermaid, but we just got laughed out of the store. And not only that, it spoiled the company's relationship with the Disney licensing people for decades.
Wow.
Interesting. Ouch. Interesting. Now, so you had two kids going through this. What were their favorite lines that you were repping? Like, what if they did you come home with that they were like, my dad has the greatest job in the world. He sells this. He works with this.
Well, honestly, I didn't like bringing anything home. I wouldn't give them nothing. or they'd get a great generic party. You know, we had all the crepe streamers and all the candles and the balloons you could want, but, you know, it was just white and blue or something. You know? But if they wanted something...
No free rides.
Yeah. If they wanted something, it was probably my competitor's stuff. So I'd have to go to the retailer.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, painful, painful, pain. And so the protege that you licensed everything to or that you signed off on, do you know where he is as far as like, is he happy with the relationship? I mean, how was 2020 for him? Because you got out just in time, I guess.
He's 15, 16 years my junior. He's just indomitable. He goes. He goes and makes the calls. He's protected. He wears a face shield. He's there. He makes. I got the science down to making 3-4 calls a day at most. He makes 8 or 9 calls a day. And if he's not selling them something that day, he's lining it up. He just wants to be out there. Nothing's keeping him down. He has 2 little children, and he's, you know, very cognizant of their safety. But he's just out there. That's what he wants to be doing. And that's what makes him so much unlike everybody else I ever met. Wow. He sends me the checks. My only job is to cash the checks. But he calls me 2-3 times a month just to talk and just to tell me how things are going. It's the additional lines, additional product lines that he's brought into the mix that have made him more important to the customers, a greater asset to them. And with the key line that we had, you know, he can walk in with shit on a shingle and they're going to buy it. So, you know, it's worked out well for him. And the groundwork that he's laid in 2020, during the worst of times, is going to pay off big in the next several months. I mean, as things really open up, he'll do very well.
Do you miss the grind? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Biff.
No, I was going to say, do you think that, just with this pandemic being what it is, the fact that Scott's willing to do this, you think that that's made him a better resource for these stores in this pandemic? Because he's out there and then he's got so much stuff that it doesn't make it easier for the stores.
I thought that I was the last of the guy, you know, but he is the last. And a store, you know, a good operator is not willing to just buy what he can go into Vernon at the warehouses and buy. A good operator wants new stuff all the time. And a resource for that is the salesman walking in the door. Good operators know that. And Scott is the last of them. I don't know who else is out there.
Did the supply chain get affected much in the last year?
I'm sure it has. Even Unique. And if nothing else, he was an inventory freak. He loved inventory. I understand they've had a hard time even keeping up, and they take longer to ship. You know, it's all about building expectations and managing that.
I just know in different industry, we almost bought an RV, an Airstream a couple years ago. They had ones that were brand new that were 2 years old that were still on the lot that they were making deals on. Now they're a year backlogged, you know, and the podcast Biff and I just recorded, my little guy needs a new controller for his PS4. We went to 2 different GameStops and they're back ordered just because the supply chain for 2000, you know, between the Christmas rush and most factories in Asia being shut down for anywhere from 2 to 4 to 6 months, it's just hard. You know, it's still people on up to inventory. So I'm guessing that most of these items are made overseas. So I wasn't sure how much, how effective it would have been.
More and more of the items were being made in this country, actually. The paper supplies, the plates, napkins, that's all milled. The company owns its own machinery for that. Balloons often come from Mexico, but just about everything else comes from the Orient.
Yeah, the plastics and the stuff like that.
Yes,
right? Yeah.
Yes.
Do you miss the grind, Al?
You know, like you said, Jacques, COVID's been very, very good to me. I was literally losing my hearing. You know, the tinnitus was getting worse and worse just from the din of traffic. And I was just killing myself out there. So this has been a great, you know, not great because look what I've had to give up for it. But My dry land training regimen, by the way, has been kick ass.
What are you doing?
I think Paul's going to have to put me on first line.
I don't see his choice is going to
happen. No choice.
All right. So we'll be done with the toy talk. But what was a toy that you sold? The last question, as far as this goes, what is a toy that you sold that you hated? That you're like, oh, I hate this character, or oh, this is just the worst. Was there any? Your bestseller was also your nemesis.
Yeah. It was horrible. It was like
felt like a heroin dealer just selling crap that you hated, that you knew was destroying society from the inside, but you did it for profit. So let's talk hockey for a sec. What is your dry land training?
We live in Pasadena, as far west as you can, and not be in Eagle Rock, and it's a hilly area. And there are 480 public stairs, that start, right outside my door. And I do a couple of round trips. So wow. Anywhere from, 2,000 to 3,000 stairs that I go up to at a time and do some push-ups along the way.
Do you ever go up them sideways? Do you go up them sideways?
Yeah. Do some crossovers.
Good.
Try to do some crossovers on the way down.
Yeah. No, that's like
nothing will make up for the early morning Toyota Center training, Jock. We need you back.
It's funny because I won't play hockey back here, Al. I cannot play hockey back here. I haven't skated. The only time I skated,
it's only because all the other hockey players are assholes like Jock.
Just like me. Right.
And so,
it's a locker room full of assholes.
But imagine having to play with, 10 out of those guys on the ice,
But seriously, it's like the hockey and guitar were so good. The only time I've been on the ice in the last 4 years is when I went out to Phoenix with Biff and the guys a couple years ago. And that was great, but it had nothing to do with the
Phoenix
hockey.
Phoenix on, Biff? What is that? Phoenix on this year?
No, it's they just canceled this year's about 2 weeks ago. Oh, but yeah, I mean, and they
thought
canceled.
I might get the call.
You will get the call.
I'm inviting people to Phoenix and telling them, yeah, just show up at this place.
If they have it next year, I will go. But honestly, Al. Now that I know the opportunity to take your business over isn't there, I don't know if I'm going to be moving back, because that was the whole plan. I kept telling management, it's like, I'm going to go and I'm going to sell, some Frozen 2 products for Al, and that's going to, rake it in. But
I came this close to asking you to join me, and I just thought, I can't do that to him. That wouldn't be nice.
What about you, Biff? Have you ever done sales?
No.
Have you ever done sales, Biff?
No, I'm a lousy salesman. No, I just wanted to say,
Jock, I hate to tell you this, but, and I don't know how to put it nicely, in sales, we say the next person who speaks loses. So I learned early on to say very little, as little as possible.
But I think we probably need to wrap it up for Al in a sec. So any last words of wisdom or career advice? Or
I'll be honest with you, I just miss you guys. I just wish we could be together.
Well, yeah, that same that
do our thing,
goes for you.
Biff, have you been on the ice at all?
Zero.
Oh my.
Yeah, I will not. Yeah, I mean, not until I get my vaccinations at this point. So yeah.
I spoke to Dennis. And he said something to me that I knew was true, but hearing it from him, I believed it. An ice rink is about the worst place to be right now. It's cold. The virus does very well in cold. The air is not being circulated. It's still. And you're real close to 10 other sweaty guys breathing hard. So I just hope we can get there soon.
Al, I cannot thank you enough for doing this. Honestly, I've loved your stories through the years. I've also loved all the swag that you've brought to FNH. Every time we had a party, we knew where the plates and the cups were coming from. We knew where the table knickknacks were coming from. I don't think you know, when I would go to Friday night hockey, I would get my stack of cards from Paul, and I would get whatever swag you had in the back of the car that day to bring home to the boys. You know, I on top of that, you gave us that. It was really great when you gave the boys the platform bet too. But I still do. If I look around the office here, I'm quite sure. Oh no, I don't have to look around the office. Biff, I think I told you this a few months ago. Al calls me, asks me for my address. He had a Batman end cap for something. You know, one of the display stands. And I in my office, it's gotta be 2 feet high by like 2.5 feet wide, this huge Batman thing. That when we hang up, so you know, I'll turn the camera around so Al can see it. Yeah, I was just saying, it's like I'm quite sure I have something in the office. I'm looking at this dude. But Al, you've always been an inspiration. You've always been such a mentor on and off the ice. You've always been this. You had kids years before I did, so people like you and Taylor really wrote the book on this is the right way to do things. So thank you for taking time to talk with us. I can't put into words how much I miss you, and this has been a lot of fun.
Thank you. Good to see you guys.
Yep, good to see you, man.
Love you.
We'll see ya.
Dickie Fox, who said, "The key to this business is personal relationships. Roll with the punches. Tomorrow's another day. Unless you love everybody, you can't sell anybody. I love getting up in the morning. I clap my hands and say, this is going to be a great day. If this is empty, this doesn't matter. Hey, I don't have all the answers. In life, to be honest, I failed as much as I've succeeded, but I love my wife, I love my life, and I wish you my kind of success."